This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. Okay, ready to go? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala abdillahi wa rasulih, nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We were talking about the manners of a Muslim. Do anyone remember what we talked about in the first lesson? What did we talk about in the first lesson? Okay, yes. You put your hand up. Yeah, go on.
I didn't expect you to pick and eat.
Sorry?
I didn't expect you to pick
and eat. Okay, but you put your hand up.
Yeah. I think we learned how to pray.
How to pray. Okay, no, I know you did how to pray with Ustad Basak, but before that lesson, the lesson you did with me on manners, what did we talk about? Yes, Mubin.
How to? How we respect people.
We talked about how to be good to our parents. Did we not talk about how to be good to our parents?
Yeah.
Well, let's see, Tom. Okay, we talked about how to be good to our parents. The lesson before that, what did we talk about?
How to be a Muslim, what it means to be a Muslim.
Yeah, we talked about what it means to be a Muslim and we talked about the manners of a Muslim. We talked about exceeding people's expectations and stuff like that. Girls, what else did we talk about? Amana, we talked about being responsible and trustworthy. Keeping your promises. And we talked about trustworthiness. Yeah? Very good. So at least you guys remember roughly what we talked about. Okay. Very good. Excellent. There are some things that I want to talk about today. I want to talk about a few different characteristics or manners today of the Muslim. I want to talk about al-jood wal-karam. I want to talk about being generous. So from the boys, first of all, what does it mean to be generous? To be kareem? Or to be someone who is jawad? Okay, let me hear, what do you think? Yes, what do you think? Okay, respect and kindness among other people. Okay. Girls, what do you think? Okay, I like that one. I like that one the girls mentioned. Giving what you yourself would want to other people. I like that. I like that. Giving what you yourself would want to other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not become good people until you give other people what you love. There's a famous story, I think it was Abdullah ibn Umar. As I remember, it was Abdullah ibn Umar who used to give the people sugar. He used to give people, he used to hand out to people sugar. Sugar, you know what sugar is, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like sugar. And when they asked him about it, he said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not become good people until you give what you love. You give other people what you love. And he said, "Wa ana uhibbu sukkar." He said, "I love sugar. And I love sweet." He put a little bit, you know, sweetness in my food or my drink. I like it. So I want to give people what I love. So part of generosity is that you give people what you love for yourself. Not you give people what you don't like. Some people do that. Like, for example, their parents say, look, you should give one of your toys away in charity. So they find the toy they don't like. I don't like this one, give it. That's good, but it's not al-karam. It's not really generous. Generosity is when you look for the best thing. And I'll give you an example in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. When the Prophet ﷺ moved to Medina, the people of Medina, he made the brothers, آخَى بَيْنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. He made the brothers between the Muhajirin and the Ansar, the people who are going to Medina, the people who live in Medina. He made them like brothers. He made them like brothers. And one of them said to the other one, he said, he gave him half of his money. He said, half of my money. And he said, if you want to marry, I will divorce one of my wives and you marry her. And he gave him half of all of the money what he had. Half of the money he had. And his companion said to him, no, it's okay, I don't need these things, but just show me where the marketplace is. And he was successful in his business. But this man was willing to give him half of his money just to help him out. And Allah revealed, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. That they even, you know what, they love for themselves, but they give it up for other people, even though they need it. And this brings us to another characteristics which we're going to add to. We said al-jood wal-karam. We're going to add one more, which is al-ithar, which means what? Giving someone else preference over you. Girls, what does that mean? Giving other people preference over you. Nearly, not giving up something you like, giving up something you deserve for other people. That's what ithar is. You give up something that you deserve it, it's yours. For example, you have, let's say for example, someone says, this is your place, and you have this, this is yours. And you give up what you deserve and you give up what is yours for somebody else. This is called ithar. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. I give you an example. The example of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha, she had a house. Do you know what Aisha's house used to be? Next to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, it's actually inside the masjid because the masjid became so big that Aisha's house became inside the masjid. She had a house. This house belongs to her. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, where was he buried? He was buried in her house. Because that's where he died. When the prophets die, they get buried where they died. He died in her house, he was buried in her house. When Abu Bakr died, who is Abu Bakr? It's Aisha's father, Aisha's father. When he died, where did Aisha bury her father? Next to the Prophet ﷺ, in Aisha's house. Aisha's house had one more space to bury somebody in it. Who do you think she wanted to be buried there? Anas, what do you think? Herself. Because this is her house. And this is her husband and her father. And her husband is the Prophet ﷺ, her father is Abu Bakr. So she had made that space for herself. She left it for her. She said, this is my space. When I die, I want to be buried next to my husband, next to my father, in my house. And not where she was living. She was living in a separate part. And there was, her house had two parts. One part she lived in it, and the other part, the Prophet ﷺ was buried, and Abu Bakr was buried. When Umar was stabbed, and he was dying, he sent his son Abdullah to Aisha. And he said to Aisha, he said, go to Aisha and tell her, I am not in charge of her today. I'm not commanding her, I'm asking her if she will allow me to be buried in that place instead of her. Aisha said, I had decided to bury myself. This is my place. And she said, today I preferred Umar over myself. I will give Umar my place. And she gave that place of hers for Umar. And she was not buried there. She was buried in the Baqi' in the normal graveyard with the rest of the Muslims. But she gave up her space for Umar. So this is an example of ithar, of preferring someone else over you. Okay, what some of the scholars, they said, the first thing about generosity is you don't expect anything back. Bila iwad. You don't expect anyone to give you anything back. That's the first thing. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We feed you for the sake of Allah. We don't want anyone to give me anything. Don't give me any money. Don't give me anything. Don't even say thank you. This is just from me, from the goodness of my heart. I don't want you to give me something back. That's one thing. And the second thing they said that al-karam is, they said, it is al-ata bi suhula. It's that you give easily. They said al-karam, it means that you give easily. You know, you don't find it hard to give to other people. When people ask you, you give people very easily. Does it have to be that you give them money, or could it be something else? Boys, what else could it be you give people? I'll go, so I answered you. Yeah, go on. Hat. Yeah, go on.
It could be like something valuable to you.
Something valuable to you, like? Okay, like one of your valuables. Okay, what else could it be?
Clothes.
Clothing. Okay, what else could it be?
Food.
Food. All of you so far gave good answers, but you none of you gave the answer I was looking for. Girls, what do you think? Your favorite things, okay? Mm-hmm. Go on, in the back. Yeah, yeah. Praying for someone, okay? Still, you guys are, Anas. Everything you can, you're still, it's okay, but I was thinking of your time. Can you not be generous with your time? You can be generous with your time, right? So what you're doing is, you are giving, somebody asks for your help, somebody asks for your time, somebody asks for you, oh, Ahi, please, can you help me with this for 1 hour? Can you give me 10 minutes for this? For you are generous with your time. You're generous even with your objects. It's mentioned about Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, that he was very, very generous. He was a generous person. And it's mentioned that even when he was reading a book, which he was reading for his classes, he was reading a book for his classes. And while he was reading the book, someone would come and say, Sheikh, I want this book. But he's busy reading the book for the class. He would close the book and give it to them and say, take the book. And his students would say to him, Sheikh, you don't have another copy. You don't have any other, like, what will you now, how will you read it? But just out of generosity, take it. Take it. This is an example. Just take this. Somebody comes and says, oh, I really like this thing you have. Take it. Because what did we say generosity means? It means you find it easy to give. You find it easy to give to other people. You don't find it difficult to give to other people. Okay. What is the opposite of being generous? Okay, good. Let me listen to you. Being mean and selfish and stingy. Okay. Being mean and selfish and stingy and greedy. Okay. So What does that mean? The first thing is that you're a person who doesn't want to give other people. And you will hold on to what you have, even if it is only small. In fact, generosity is not connected to how much money you have. It's not. You could be very rich and you could be very generous. You could be very rich and you could be very stingy. You could be both. You could be very poor and be very generous. You could be very poor and be very stingy. How? How does that work? Because it's not about how much you have. It's about whether you give easily. Maybe somebody has only one date to eat. One date to eat. And somebody comes and says, I'm poor, I'm hungry. He says, wallah, I only have this to eat. Take half of it. You take it. Sometimes our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she was so generous that she used to give her iftar to poor people and she didn't have anything to eat. In fact, our mother Aisha was so generous that they said about our mother Aisha, they said about her, she was so generous that her relatives used to get angry with her for how generous she was. They used to get angry with her for how generous she was. Sometimes they said, she would come, somebody poor would knock on the door, a lady knock on the door, she says, I'm poor, I don't have anything. So Aisha would go and she would find anything she has in the house, the food, everything, and she will give it. She will give it to the lady. And then the person in the house who was with her says to her, but you don't have anything to break your fast. And you gave all your food away. You gave everything that you had away. Even the food that she would break her fast, she would give it away. But this is the thing about giving easily. It doesn't mean you have a lot, but it means that you give. It means that you give easily. What does Islam say about generosity? What does Islam say about generosity? Allah Azza wa Jal said, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعِجَلٍ سَمِينَ. The story of Ibrahim and the guests of Ibrahim. Some three or number of guests, they came to Ibrahim. And when they came to Ibrahim, he didn't have any idea who they are. He didn't know who they are. He said, Salamun qawmun munkarun. He said, I don't know who you are. Salam to you. You people are strange to me. I never met you before. Faragha ila ahlihi faja'a bi'ijalin samin. He straight away, he went and he slaughtered a cow, a calf, and he roasted it, he cooked it for them. And he put it before them. He didn't know who they were. He didn't know who are they. They're not my friends. He said, you are people, I don't know who you are. But nobody should come to my house except that I give them something, what I have. Who were those guests of Ibrahim? Does anyone know? Oh, Anas says he knows. Go on, Anas. Angels, huh? They were the angels who were sent to punish the people of Lut. Okay. And the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. The example of those who spend their money for the sake of Allah is like the example of a seed. The seed grows seven, it grows 7 ears, any 7 stalks. Each one of them has 100 grains. One seed, how many seeds do they get out of it? Who can do the maths? They had one seed, how many they got? Okay, every seed grows 7 stalks. The 7 stalks have got 100 seeds in each. How many did they get out? How many seeds they got out? 700 seeds out of one seed. And they put one seed, and out of the one seed came 700 seeds. That's the example of the people who give for the sake of Allah. The example of the people who give for the sake of Allah. As for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very, very generous person. And when was he the most generous? Do you know when the Prophet was most generous? He was always generous. He was always generous. Do you know when he was the most generous? Anas, what do you think? No. When was he most generous? Yes. Oh, good. Nearly you got there, but not quite. Girls, what do you think?
Right after
he had the angels. Now it's close to her answer. Huh? Girls, sorry. No, not when he was written. No. No. Go on. No. He was most generous in Ramadan. He was at his most generous in the month of Ramadan. But he was always a generous person. He was always a generous person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, a dinar that you spend for the sake of Allah, and a dinar you spend to free a slave, and a dinar that you spend upon a poor person, and a dinar that you spend upon your family, the one with the biggest reward is the one that you spend upon your family. That's the most generous of the people. Okay, we talked about generosity. We talked about being generous. We talked about giving up what is yours for. We talked about giving up what is yours for other people. Okay. Related to that, is giving without, yani what do we call it? We say in Arabic, min tibi nafs, yani, or an tibi nafs, giving without you finding anything in your heart, any freely, happily. You give it without thinking about what you're giving. It doesn't hurt you to give to other people. That's also something. So included in that is also sharing with other people as well. Okay. There is another. There is another characteristic that I want to talk to you about today, inshaAllah ta'ala. I want to talk to you about two characteristics the Prophet ﷺ loved them and he praised them. He saw a man and he said, إِنَّ فِيكَ خِصْلَتَيْنَ يُحِبُّهُمُ اللَّهِ. He said, you have got two characteristics that Allah loves. He said, الْحِلْمُ وَالْأَنَا or الْحِلْمَ وَالْأَنَا. He said, you have two characteristics that Allah loves. One of them is al-hilm, and one of them is al-ana. So I want to teach you what these two characteristics mean. Al-hilm, what it means is, that you are in control of yourself when you get angry and you don't let your anger show. And some of them said, what it means is, it means you're not quick to take revenge on someone. You are not quick to take revenge. You're not an angry person, and you're not quick to take revenge. Being in control of yourself, not rushing to lash out at people and to get angry with people. This is what we call al-hilm. And the person who has hilm, we call them halim. Someone who doesn't get angry too quickly. Who doesn't get angry too quickly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, strength is not wrestling. He said, strength is not when you wrestle. But strength is the one, or being strong is the one who controls themselves when they're angry. مَنْ يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. They control themselves when they get angry. So overlooking, like Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. The one who doesn't let their anger show, and who forgives what people do to them. This is an example of being halim. Not taking revenge on people. That when somebody did something wrong and you go in your heart and you, I'm going to get this person back, I'm going to do this to them, I'm going to do that to them. Let it go. Never mind, let it go. Let wait. Never mind, let it be. Let's see what happens, let it be. Maybe Allah will change that person's heart. So you don't go to sleep and you have anger in your heart for somebody else. And you, when you get angry, you conceal your anger. You don't let your anger bubble up. What are some of the bad things that happen when someone gets angry? What are some of the bad characteristics or the bad effects of getting angry? What do you think?
Saying bad words to one another. So getting angry can make your feelings get angry. You can say bad words to someone else.
So you start saying bad things. Very good. Yes, girls. You hurt other people and then you regret it. Very good. You hurt other people and you regret it. Yeah, you hurt, when you get angry, you hurt other people and then you start regretting it. You start feeling sorry. Oh, I should not have got angry. I should not have said that. Yeah, so you get angry and you regret. Yes?
Like someone did something by an accident, they didn't know, then you want revenge, then you hurt them, then you hurt them, then you regret it.
Yeah, you sometimes, someone didn't even realize the bad thing they did to you, they didn't even realize they did it. But you want to take someone to account for everything. Yes? I like what the girl said. They said you get sins yourself. And you start, someone did something bad to you, but because you get angry and your anger gets out of control, you start doing bad things to other people. I agree with that. That's very, very true. That's very true. Did you have one more being still or not? Okay. So this was one of the characteristics, al-hilm. The other characteristic the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is al-ana. And al-ana means taking things slowly. Al-ta'anni. Taking things slowly. Why is it important to take things slowly? Girls, I'm coming to you. Girls, why is it important to take things slowly and not to rush? Okay. Very good. So you don't make bad decisions and then you regret what you did later. Very good. What else are some of the bad effects of just rushing and being too quick?
Rushing can cause problems. So like, maybe you're to work, you're late, you might rush and you might forget something at home and then you regret it. Then
the Prophet ﷺ said, rushing is from the shaitan, right? That rushing is from the shaitan. And sometimes even what rushing can do, sometimes when you rush into something, sometimes even it can get, you can say bad things or think bad things about Allah. They came to the Prophet ﷺ one day and he was sitting in the shade of the Kaaba. And they said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, why don't you make dua for us? And can you not see how bad our situation is? Why are you not making dua for us?" The Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You people are too fast, you are rushing. Allah is going to give you this whole land, is going to be yours. But you are rushing, you are trying to rush too fast to get something. It will come, be patient with it. It's going to come to you at the right time. Yes, Mubeen. Go and bring them both. Things won't happen straight away, it takes time, you're right. Everything takes time. And if you take time, things come about properly. And if you rush, normally the things don't come out the way that you want. But even this idea of al-ana is even when something happens, you don't rush to jump to a conclusion. Have you heard people say that before? Jump into a conclusion. And you see something straight away, you think bad of somebody. What are you doing? What's this? What, you took my thing? Relax. First of all, find out what happened. Then you can do the right thing about it. Yes?
If you rush, like normally you're like a bit angry, or like there's like some feeling in your body that you don't want there. But if you're just like taking stuff like slowly, you're a bit calm, and like when you're calm, it's like you don't need to rush anymore.
I agree, those two are related. That's why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned them in the same hadith. He mentioned al-hilm, which is concealing your anger and not getting angry and not being quick to take revenge. And he also mentioned taking things slowly. Those two come together. How can you be somebody like that? Let's just say you're an angry person right now. You're a person who is, you go from 0 to 100 in 10 seconds. In 2 seconds, you go from 0 to 100. How can you become more and slow? How can you become more relaxed? Girls, what are you saying? Remember what? Remember what the Prophet ﷺ said. Remember the hadith. Remember the hadith. Think about it. Remember it. Okay, that's good. Yes. You can start pray, you can go to pray, you can make wudu. Yes. You can make wudu. Very good. Excellent. You can lie down. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you get angry and you're standing up, sit down. And if you get angry when you're sitting, lie down. Yes, stand up, sit down, lie down. The anger will go away from you. You can say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. The Prophet ﷺ saw a man getting so angry, he said, I know something. If this man said it, his anger would go away from him. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Good. There's one more I want to talk about, then we're going to finish the lesson today. And what I want to talk about, inshallah, is I want to talk about husnul dhan, thinking good of other people. Thinking good of other people. Who can explain to me what does it mean to be someone who thinks good of other people? Go on then, girls, tell me. Okay, I'm going to tell you about this one. This one's a bit difficult, okay? You are in a situation which has more than one possibility. You see something, it could be something good and it could be something bad. For example, you see your friend whispering and pointing at you. It could be something good or it could be something bad. You have a choice. Which one are you going to start with? I'm not saying it's something good or bad. I'm saying where are you going to start? Where are you going to start? Are you going to start by thinking it's something bad and then you go over there and then you shout at them and you say, Astaghfirullah, fear Allah, what are you saying about me? Or are you going to have the idea that it's something good? Which one are you going to start with? Yes. Something good. That's what husn al-dhan means. It means when you're in a situation where you have, it could be good or it could be bad, you lean towards it being something good. And you have good thoughts about people. Or you see somebody coming out of the masjid at the time of the iqamah. And they're going out of the masjid. You could straight away think something bad. Astaghfirullah, he hasn't come to pray. Astaghfirullah, he's not going to pray with us. Look at this person, leaves the salah. Look at them, they don't even care about the prayer. Or you could say, maybe that person had an emergency, they had to leave for something. Maybe they were feeling unwell. Maybe they just went, they realized they left their car open, they just went to lock the car and come back and pray. Yeah? So when you have a choice between a good or a bad thought about someone, you prefer the good thought over the bad thought. And part of this is making excuses for your brother. Making excuses for somebody. And thinking good of people. So when you're faced with a situation where, for example, let's say your friend said to you, you said to your friend, come round to my place tonight. Your friend said, oh, I'm busy. I can't. I'm busy. Then you see your friend that day outside. You can think bad of them. Astaghfirullah. I told him to come to my place and he lied to me. He said he was busy and I saw him outside in the street. Or you could think good of him and you could think, subhanAllah, maybe he thought he was busy and he changes. His plan got changed. Maybe his mom told him he was busy and then she told him you can go out. Or maybe he's going out with his mom somewhere. Or maybe now this is the thing that made him busy. You can think good of him or you can think bad of him. So a Muslim should always think good of other people, not think bad of other people. If you have an option between what's good and what's bad, think about people in a good way and make excuses for them. Yes.
Also, the person could have been busy at that time, and then when they're outside, they're not busy anymore, and they're like, when they're not busy, they just forgot that you told them that.
Yeah, they might have forgotten. They might have forgotten about it. You're right. Yes, Mubeen. Yeah, if you do something bad and you keep acting upon thinking bad of people, you'll end up getting a sin. Yes.
Maybe they lied for a good reason, so you don't like do hard work.
Maybe they didn't lie at all. Maybe they didn't lie at all. I'm not even going to say they lied. Maybe they didn't lie at all. They just said something and they didn't realize. So you try to always think about people in a good way. Yes. Yeah, that's it. That's what husn al-dhan means, being optimistic about a situation that could be something or something else. But that doesn't mean you don't find out what it is. You could still find out. You could still find out about what's happening, but you try to be optimistic. Yes. Yeah. Definitely. That's it. When you don't take things slowly, you end up rushing and getting yourself into something bad. You don't see something bad is waiting for you on the road. You don't see it because you're rushing. And when you take things slowly, you see when there might be something bad which is going to happen, and you can, inshallah, avoid it. And you can avoid it, inshallah. Okay. I think inshallah ta'ala we're going to wrap it up there, because I'm really a little bit struggling still with my voice, and I'm having to raise my voice a little bit. So I think inshallah ta'ala we'll stop there. Salat al-Maghrib here in the masjid is in a little bit more than half an hour. You can say like 35 minutes inshallah. So inshallah ta'ala we'll stop there. You guys will wait inshallah. You can talk to each other. You can play calmly, calmly until Maghrib. You can't, guys, not now. I didn't say now. Yeah? I don't want to see people fighting each other. I don't want to see people hitting each other. I don't want to see people running around like crazy. Calm, slow. Inshallah, you have until Maghrib, inshallah ta'ala. And that's what Allah Azza wa Jal made easy for me to mention, and Allah knows best. Wa salatu wa salam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.